Hello and welcome to the Marketing Showcase podcast, the first episode of 2026. I'm James, by the way. We are in my home city of Sheffield, always my favourite event of the year, despite the football stadium that it happens to be held in, but that's a different matter. We'll not talk about that. It's a pleasure to be joined by first guest of the year, quite an honour for you. Do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Susan Wilkinson. I'm the marketing manager for Rother Obray Solicitors. We're based in Nottingham and we've got offices in Leicestershire, Nottinghamshire and Derbyshire.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. Is this a rare outing to Sheffield for you, or do you get up this way often?
It is a rare outing. I have been here before. I used to exhibit at the IT showcase years and years ago.
Oh, okay.
in a previous life.
Good stuff. Tell me a little bit about your role. What does it entail? What are you responsible for? What's on your desk at the moment?
On my desk at the moment, apart from my Cheshire Cat pen holder, is I look after a whole range of online and offline marketing. Most of it is marketing planning. I've put quite a lot of different plans in place for the different departments. We also look at office-specific marketing as well, so making sure we're targeting a very specific area for each of our offices. We also look at a lot of social media, so there's a lot of social media engagement. That's a big piece that I'm working on at the moment as well. And we go out to events, we do a lot of talks, particularly for things like wills and probate, because, you know, we need to get our name out there, really. And people need to kind of understand some of the legal things that they probably don't understand. So we've got a really good group of solicitors that just talk about the subject. So it's not quite so scary for people.
Okay. So it sounds like that's a pretty varied role. There's quite a lot going on in there. Some stuff that we'd class as perhaps kind of pure marketing, and then some different stuff as well. How do you kind of manage that sort of shifting between different versions of you when you've got different things that you need to be concentrating on?
I'm quite good at keeping plates up in the air. I've done that for a number of years and different firms, so I do quite like having the variety. I have a very good manager who helps keep me on track, so we have regular catch-ups so that we can make sure that the priorities of the firm are also my priorities, otherwise I go rogue, and which is, you know, easy to do. We do get a lot of our teams shouting out for support and different events, different pieces of collateral, particularly social media advertising, which is a new thing for us. So it's just making sure that I'm trying to cover the whole range at any one time. We do have a really good team, to be fair. We do have a digital marketing manager, so he takes care of the website and all pay-per-click. We get a lot of our work through that. So he looks after quite a lot of the online stuff, but I still manage the social media because it's very content-based and it's kind of quite fun and funky sometimes.
Last year at Marketing Showcase events, a lot of the conversations were kind of dominated by AI, and I'm expecting that will probably continue this year, and there'll be a lot of AI related conversations. But I also expect this year more and more people talking about brand. So that's my kind of prediction for the year, is that brand will start to not necessarily dominate the conversation, but certainly start to rival AI, which was just all over things next year.
Yeah.
So this is a very open-ended question, but how important is brand for you guys?
So my background is actually with branding, so it's always been an area of marketing that I absolutely loved.
Right.
And we've got quite a strong brand. We've had a couple of mergers over the last few years, so the company's gone from one name to another name. So we've now stuck with Rother Obray, which is it's a mixture of Rotherers and Bray and Bray. So we're starting to really build that. We're 2 years into building that as a brand. So we're very much about making sure people understand that it's making people feel something when they hear about us. We don't want to be seen as that corporate. We're not a corporate brand by any stretch. We're a very friendly bunch, and it's getting that across with all our communications. We've softened a lot of the look and feel of things when we're going online, just to make sure that, you know, people can trust us and people feel that we are friendly, because we are. very, very friendly. So that's a really, really big thing at the moment. And we've looked at some of the, even some of the assets and things that we've got we didn't really have before. So that physical showing of the brand, just to make sure that it fits in with actually who we are as a firm. So that's really, really important. We don't really have to do a lot of work behind the scenes with the teams because actually they're all very friendly and they're very approachable. So actually we've got really, really good material to work with. It's just now is that physical getting the name out there so people connect that with the friendliness of the firm.
That makes a lot of sense. I've always thought brand ultimately starts with culture and probably recruitment. Like, you've got to have the right people that buy into it. It's very difficult just to say now we're going to be this kind of brand and everyone's got to change course. It's a lot easier if you bring in people that fit that anyway. So that makes
sense. They do recruit to fit in with the ethos of the business.
So I'm always quite intrigued with kind of firms like yours in terms of building a brand that perhaps appears quite friendly and welcoming and cool, but also you've really got to build that trustworthiness as well.
Yes.
And that balance between seen as being quite professional, but perhaps not too stuffy. How do you kind of get that right?
So we're very informal in our style anyway. So we will have, our teams will meet their clients and they'll have trainers on with their suit. So it's very, very informal in the style that we are. They do go out a lot to different events. They do go and visit other places to talk about different areas of law. We do a lot of work. It's called pro bono, where we will help charities and things like that. We do a lot of charity work. So actually, we kind of get across our message by doing a lot of that. We do give to charity. We do a lot of volunteer work as a firm as well. And you know, that kind of shows that personality of who we are.
I like that. You mentioned earlier about a very subtle drop in that you used to be involved in the IT showcase.
Yes.
So a little bit of a kind of an IT and tech background. So I just want to explore a little bit around kind of like marketing, software and systems and all that kind of stuff. So in the legal sector, where you have perhaps slightly more than anyone else, don't know if that's true anymore actually, but you know, that kind of data protection and that side of things just being so important, how do you vet kind of the tech and stuff that you use?
So we have a team that look after all our IT and look after compliance, look after innovation. We're quite an innovative team. We don't make rash decisions about our technology, and we make sure that it's about the client first and foremost. And then what makes it easier for us is kind of secondary, really, to making sure that the client journey is the best that it can be. We did change our system, our case management system. We are actually adding a CRM system onto that, but
right,
we wanted the case management system to be right first before we start looking at the CRM, because that's a nice to have rather than a, you know, it's more important that we can actually progress matters through to the end before we start looking at how do we target people. So so it is quite big. GDPR is obviously massive, and you know, of all the firms, we certainly can't be seen to be flouting any GDPR rules, and we're very hot on that, almost to the point that we're risk averse when it comes to things like data, because you know, we just can't be too careful. And again, we're a law firm, and we don't want to run the risk.
How well do you think your kind of your front line, so the lawyers at your firm, how well do you think they appreciate kind of the marketing work that you and your colleagues and your team does?
I think they do. It's taken a while. I'm still I'm 18 months into my role, so and I took over from somebody who had a very different style to me. So I've kind of gone in there all guns are blazing a little bit. And I think now people are starting to rely on, actually, we'll take your lead on what we want to do, because,
right,
you know, it's not been a battle at all, but, you know, it's quite hard to explain to people that know a particular area, particularly law, you know, they're very focused on that and very good at it. And before, they had to think of new things to do, whereas now I'm doing that for them and regularly meeting them so that we can make sure we get the absolute best out of them. And then they also know what is expected of them as well, which really helps. So it's about relationships internally as well.
So bad news, I'm afraid, Susan, because this is the first event of the year. And just, I'm not sure when people will listen to this, but we are recording this in kind of mid to late February 2026. The first event of the year. I've already made my prediction for what I think is going to really dominate marketing this year, ignoring AI, because that's the easy answer. What's your prediction?
Well, I would actually say AI, because I've just started I'm of that age where I didn't grow up with a lot of the technology, so it's quite new to me. Some of my colleagues are using AI tools, and actually it's something that I've just stepped away from as much as possible. It's a bit scary. So I have just started a course, a degree level course on AI and marketing. So I'm determined that I think for this year, certainly for me, AI will dominate, because I'm determined to crack that one. And
that makes sense.
And actually understand it better so that we can work better as a firm as well.
Well, hopefully if you're back here next year for Marketing Showcase, we can catch up and see how you're getting on.
Yes,
with that. You can tell me about all the amazing AI tools that you've now incorporated into your role. So just finally, before we let you go, if there's anyone who, after listening to this, kind of thinks, do you know what? I want to follow up with Susan. I want to chat more about some of the stuff that you've mentioned. What's the best way for people to keep up to date with what you're working on?
I am on LinkedIn, and I am getting better now at personally posting. So Susan Wilkinson on LinkedIn.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please check the feed for loads more content from Marketing Showcase events. You can find out more about Marketing Showcase at mktgshowcase.co.uk. There's details about the upcoming events on there, along with a ton of useful blogs, details about exhibitors, links to social channels, and more. I run my own business, by the way, Sound Media, helping brands to incorporate podcasting into their marketing output. If you'd like to get to know me a little bit better, LinkedIn is the place for that. Search for James Marriott and look for the headphones emoji. That's me. We'll be back soon with more insights from Marketing Showcase. See you then.